モバイルアプリピンポッドキャストエピソード2。Welcome to the Mobile App Flipping Podcast. This is your host, Johan Tayeb. My goal is to help you get the most out of reskilling apps. Whether you're already a full-time entrepreneur or trying to get a business going, this podcast is for you. We will be interviewing professionals that are already doing app reskilling for a living. We will also invite source code sellers to get to learn about what they have to offer. And finally, we will talk to industry experts to learn how to become more productive at flipping apps. And now, without further ado, let's get started. So today we have an amazing guest. I have with me Tyler Kessler. And Tyler has been reskinning apps for quite a while. Tyler, can you say a little bit about who you are and your background?
Sure. Thanks, Johan, for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. So my adulthood started in 2007 when I graduated college from the University of Missouri. And I went actually into the corporate life like many do as a business student. And I became an assistant buyer at Macy's, and I ended up finding my way out to Los Angeles working for a high-end fashion designer, managing all their money and all their stock and, you know, just a corporate job.
Yeah, 9-to-5 type of job, right?
Oh, yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. I was in that rat race like many others. And it wasn't until the recession of 08 or the crash of 08 and I started questioning everything, kind of like a lot of young people did at that time. And I start, I read the book by Timothy Ferriss, 4-Hour Workweek. Okay. And that book really opened up my eyes to having a lifestyle business. And if you don't know what a lifestyle business is, it's basically where you are the owner of a company. Think of many internet-based companies. And you really leverage your resources through virtualization of your coworkers of your independent contractors through services like Odesk and Elance, et cetera.
Okay.
So I attempted to do a couple online businesses back in 2008 when I was in LA. And it never really clicked. Like I went all in and just wasn't making money. It was just... everything just wasn't coming together like I hoped. So
okay, well, you failed, you know.
Yeah.
At least you tried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have no shame in what I did, and I learned a whole lot, and it definitely got me to becoming the entrepreneur I am today. But after that, I actually went a little bit back into building big businesses. So I was leaving the lifestyle business and going into the startup world where I'm still building a traditional business. And I got into renewable energy development, and then I helped in, I guess it was in 2011, start a solar installer here in St. Louis, and went from 4 employees to about, I think they're up to 60 now. And I actually left last March that company because it became another 9-to-5 job. It after I build the business, and I don't have fun maintaining it. I just want to build something new, you know.
Got it.
So back, so going up to March of 2013, I happened to come across Timothy Ferriss's blog, as I read it all the time, and Chad Moretta wrote a post on app flipping or building apps.
I see where you're heading.
Yeah. So I started to get that bug again where I'm like, okay, I need to build a lifestyle business. Like it's 2013. I'm older. I've seen some stuff. Let's do this again. So I got Chad's book, App Empire, and read that in about 2 days. And since I've already loved apps and I've been an Apple fanboy since the original iPod came out, it was a no-brainer. So I've been doing app flipping ever since. And well, I don't want to call myself just an app flipper. We talk a little bit about my strategy, but I've been developing apps my first one hit the store in June 14th, 2013. So 134 days
long
ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many apps do you have now?
I have 7 in the store currently.
Oh, okay. Wow. You have a pretty good velocity there.
Yeah. It's, In September, I pumped out about four or five of them.
Oh, okay. So, you're gaining velocity, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. My overall plan was to get 30 in the store in the first year. Mm-hmm. So yeah, things are definitely ramping up as things are starting to click and my processes are getting faster.
Good job. I've been in the market for 5 years and I have a little bit over 30 apps. So yeah, definitely. Oh, wow. You're going really quick.
Oh, thanks. That's good to hear.
Yeah. Do you mind sharing some download numbers of your apps or where do you
stand? Yeah, I can. And I just want to give a disclaimer that I'm still very much in the learning process. And I kind of want to talk about some of the struggles, if you don't mind.
Sure. And that's what this podcast is about. So go
sure.
for it.
So my download numbers, I'm at 11,000 downloads to date, which is not great considering I have 7 apps in the store. I have on the first, I'm looking at my numbers now. On my first app, has made 347% ROI,
nice.
But yeah, it's great when you look at percents, but when you look at the low investment of $200, it's basically made a profit of $695. So
yeah, then there's a time coming into it. You know, you need to
sure.
figure out how much time you put into making that.
Sure. Yeah, well, actually, that app only took 3 days to develop because it was a reskin. I purchased it through Blue Cloud Solutions website, and
okay.
it was an unlimited.
Which one was that?
It was the single slot that pretty much it's pretty much I think the number one that they sell.
Oh,
it's the one I see the most of.
Casino surf machine, something.
Yeah,
like
surf slots. Yeah.
Yeah, got it.
And, you know, it's a great starter app for anyone trying to get into app flipping because it has so little assets to it, and it's really one view. And there's really not much to it, and everyone's drooling over slots now, so it was an easy one to get my feet wet with.
Okay, so was that the simplest app you reskinned?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely? And
yeah,
it had
definitely.
The most decent return on investment?
Yeah, so I've actually reskinned this one 4 different times.
Oh, okay.
The first one was a $200 investment. The second one was a $150 investment. The third one was a $30 investment. And the fourth one was a $5 investment.
So question, how do you do that? Did you start it by hiring people, graphic designers? Or
yeah.
you did it on your own?
Yeah, I hired a great guy. I got real lucky. I used Odesk for the first time, and I got lucky with a graphic designer who is out of Pakistan. His name's Hamza. He does great just reskin work, nice guy, and he communicates very well. So we've been working together for the last few months on a couple different reskins. And so he did the first one, but it actually... you know, it depends on who you are, but I'm someone who can work my way around Photoshop and Illustrator. And once I understood what was going on in Xcode with all the different assets, and assets are just the images and the sound files, I was like, okay, I can do this myself. So he did the first two, which is why the total costs were that high. But on the last two, I did them myself.
When you say he did the first two, he's a graphic designer, from what I understand, right? So
correct.
Who took care of the code? In the
I
sense,
did.
You know? Ah, okay. So,
so
you did that part. Okay.
I'm one of those. Yeah, I'm a technical person, and I've done a little light programming previously, but nothing hardcore. Visual Basics. You know, I can Excel. You know.
Okay, so enough to drive you through flipping an app on the code side, right?
I'm sorry.
You got enough coding experience to be able to go into Xcode and, you know, tweak a little bit code here and there or change a couple of strings?
I spent lots of hours just trying to figure it out because my brain's wired to enjoy things like that. So I don't want people to think that you need to go into Xcode and tweak things like I did. But if you're someone who likes to figure things out and you're real technical, it's definitely possible to go into Xcode not knowing a thing about Objective-C, and you can figure it out.
Okay. Question, what was the name of your reskinning? What was the name of the game in the App Store?
Oh, the apps? Oh, the first one's called Get Lucky Slots, and that was a play on of Daft Punk's album that came out over the summer, and their hit song was Get Lucky.
So you're playing on the keywords to try to get some eyeballs on your game, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, and I actually skinned it as a Tron theme, because if you're a fan of the Tron Legacy movie, Daft Punk actually did the entire soundtrack to them.
Correct.
So I was kind of putting the two together. I don't know if they clicked or not. I can't really prove it with my analytics, but I just went with my gut on that, and it's actually been a solid app for me, and people seem to really enjoy the theme because it's like a dark slot that kind of glows. It looks cool. So yeah, it's been a success.
So how many months ago was that when you released it? I was 3-4 months ago or so?
Yeah,
right?
June 14th. So okay, 134 days.
Are you still getting any revenues out of this game?
Yeah, it gets, I had the exact number of average day. It makes $6 on average per day.
Oh, okay. So you're still getting revenue out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's okay. I don't know how, but I am. People still are downloading it. You know, the key to getting sustainable downloads is really just tweaking the marketing. So I've been really on it as far as updating it every 2 to 3 weeks to get the keywords. So Apple allows the meta keywords, as you know, and you get up to 100 characters for keywords. And I just keep tweaking them. And as the demand changes on how people search, I tweak my keywords to hopefully match that demand so that my app gets more exposure in the searches.
Excellent.
On the App Store.
Good job. Now let's try to get in depth into that reskinning code.
Okay.
How many images did you have to deal with?
I think now what's interesting, I'll tell you a little thing that I do a little differently. So to answer your question, it's about 130 images, something like that.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of them are duplicates too. You just have to, you know, resize them based on if it's a Retina device has double the pixels, a non-Retina device has half.
Oh, okay. So basically, the amount of work from a graphic artist is very small. However, you may have different dimensions, right?
Totally depends on the app. I would say that a graphic designer, the best way to work with a graphic designer is to have someone who really knows the code. So a lot of people use a project manager. So if you're an entrepreneur, you might have your own project manager who is the guy who's going to look at the code and communicate with the graphic designer and tell the graphic designer what file goes with what.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a graphic designer can figure it out on their own if they just play with the app and tweak things. But it's really helpful to have someone who understands the code, who can communicate to a graphic designer. It just makes the job go like twice as fast, at least.
I see, but here you have to have an extra person in, you know, to hire or to deal with. So you know, they may cost an extra cut on top, you know.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, like you don't have to do it. I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying that you know, when it comes to reskinning, you have to develop a lot of apps and have a diverse portfolio to really make a business out of it. And if you don't have if you aren't developing fast, you're not going to succeed. It's just going to be an expensive hobby for you. So either you can hire someone out very cheap to do that, or you can just take some time yourself like I did. I didn't actually hire anyone. And understand the code, and when the graphic designer gets stuck, just make sure that they have someone to help. So I'll tell my graphic designer, hey man, if you get stuck on something, send me a message on Skype. I'm here and I will fix it, and I will help tell you exactly what to do. Because there's nothing worse than a contractor halfway around the world who gets stuck on something, and then 3 days later you find out he's been stuck on something very tiny that you could have resolved for him.
Yeah, for sure. And but how did you figure out all those things? Was there some kind of a documentation or a walkthrough that was provided?
So, you know, the broad stroke of guidance I had was the App Empire book, which if you want to get into app flipping, I definitely recommend it. It's by Chad Moretta, and he talks about just understanding the market, and because you can do reskins all day long, but if you don't reskin for what the market wants, you're not going to get the downloads. So I think Chad's just great at understanding the market. And then as far as understanding the actual code itself, I do like I've learned most anything technical, and I just do a Google search. Yeah. And I'll just if I'm in Xcode and I don't understand what something is, I'll just highlight it, copy and paste it into Google. And yeah, it takes a long time. It takes hours. And you have to be the kind of person who's wired to be technical like that. But I just did it through trial and error. And if anyone has ever worked in code and hasn't gone through schooling, that's generally how people self-teach themselves. But I want to stress the point that that is not the best way to do it. It's going to be a struggle. You're going to hit roadblocks if you try to learn this all yourself. So the best way to do it is not learn. You don't want to learn everything because you'll burn yourself out. You really do want to leverage these resources like Odesk to hire someone, because you can hire someone for like $12 an hour who can do it very quickly. And I've hired a programmer for a different reskin where I had tweaks, and it cost me $300 to do some pretty significant changes to it. And he did it in 3 days, something that would have taken me 3 months. So, you know, time is money.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I'm looking at your Get Lucky game, and I see that you have so many different languages. How do you take care of localizations like that?
I actually don't have multiple languages. I don't have that one localized. I'm not sure what you're looking at.
Okay. Where does it... In iTunes, it showed like you have multiple languages there. Okay,
so I wish I did. but you know, there's really not much text on that game. So I think there's one pop-up that has one sentence in English, and it's basically say to purchase the in-app purchase. But if you did want to localize, you know, localization is something that I'm definitely going to look towards once my download numbers get higher. I'm at the stage where I have 7 apps in the store, but I don't have enough downloads to justify investing time and money into localization. But once an app proves itself in America, which is where the bulk of your demand will come from, mm-hmm. or English-speaking countries, once it's proven itself, you can actually kind of see where the rest of the downloads are, and then that's kind of your guide on where to localize. So I know I get a lot from Mexico and Russia when I think on the slots, my memory serves me right. So those would be the two next languages I would want to localize.
Okay. Now let's talk about pricing. How much did you pay? Do you remember for the code?
Yeah, so I bought an unlimited license for that slot machine back in June, and it was 180. I think it was 180. I can look it up as I talk here.
Okay, and so around $200. Okay.
Yeah. Well, let me think about this. I think it was about 140, and then the rest was graphic design fees.
Oh, okay.
To make it 200 investment.
Oh, all right.
And that was an unlimited license. So what's so great about the license code, which is the key to reskinning, is that you don't write any code, essentially. The code's written for you. It's all been debugged and ready to go, and all you got to do is change the images and sounds. That's the idea. Now, the thing is once you get an app that's very popular, like the slot machine one, the Surf Slots, you'll see a lot of people out there with tons of version of basically it's your app just reskinned and it's oversaturated a little bit. So what I did is I actually tweaked the code myself to make it have less assets. And I actually came out with Get Lucky HD, real clever, I know. And it's basically the same exact app, except it's like full screen and it looks like iOS 7. It actually looks better and it's easier to reskin. And it actually is, I'm down to like 30 assets instead of 130.
Oh, excellent. So you're saving time and it looks cleaner, right?
Yeah. So that was something. Yeah, thank you. I was kind of proud of that one, being a newbie. So that's why my third and fourth slots were so cheap to make.
I see. And would you reuse that code again? And reskin some more, or you want to stop at 4 or 5 reskin?
I will keep doing it until they stop making money, because I can make a slot machine and I timed the last one. I think it was 2 hours.
Nice. So you keep milking it, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So that's pretty much all I wanted to talk about on the reskilling process. Okay. Now, is there any book you recommend for someone that's just starting app flipping or reskilling?
Yeah, the App Empire book, like I was saying, by Chad Moretta. It's really like it was written 2 years ago, and some of the techniques are out of date, but the whole philosophy will never go out of date. So if you check out that book and you understand how to look at the market and how to know what reskins to make, because you know what a lot of people do is they'll say, oh, I have a great reskin idea, and they'll make it, and then they'll put it on the store, and then it won't do anything, right? But really, step one is you have an idea. Step two is go look at the app store and see is it hot. So like for my first app, I told you I did the Daft Punk Get Lucky play, and that proved to be a hit. And Daft Punk was even one of my keywords.
Nice. So did you get
really
any trouble
have to
with
pay
that?
Attention. No, because on the keywords, they're hidden meta tags. Nobody sees them. But when someone types in Daft Punk on the store, it pops up, but it doesn't say Daft Punk anywhere.
Yeah, I know what you mean. However, one of my apps had an issue with Lumosity. I had Lumosity only in my keywords, and they basically slapped me in the face. You know,
they like, who did it? Did Apple or Luminosity?
Lumosity. They basically sent like a cease and desist to me and copied Apple.
See,
so,
I would,
for some reason. Some people can access those iTunes keywords. I don't know how, though.
Well, I mean, all they have to do is search their own name, and then if you pop up with it,
that's
they're
right,
going to say,
yeah.
Oh, you're in the keywords. But I think I don't think there's any infringement on intellectual. I'm not a lawyer, so please don't take my legal advice. But my partner's a lawyer, and we've talked a lot about this kind of stuff, and that seems ridiculous because that's based on Apple's algorithm. If Apple allows any sort of meta tags like that, I don't know. I would almost see Apple, because I know Apple does ban some keywords like ABC, like for the
that's
network
right.
or
Fox
NBC.
And stuff. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It just that one seems a little. That seems like the weakest one I've ever heard of, to be honest with you. But you know, I'm not a lawyer, so you should definitely play by the rules. But if it were me, I would have kept it up.
Yeah. Question, what have you been working on lately, or what are your plans?
Sure. So in September, I had an arbitrary goal to have 10 apps in the store. I obviously didn't hit that. I got to 7.
Well, you know, close enough. Shoot for the stars, right?
Right, yeah. Let me think here. So I have 3 in development now for reskins, but I'm actually shifting gears to get into more evergreen apps that are that I'll hire a programmer for. And I'm also looking at Christmas and New Year's for reskinning, and that's about as far as I'll look right now.
Okay, so let me explain for the audience what evergreen apps are about. There's basically 2 kinds of apps. There's those that basically you're going to hit the store, they're going to make lots of downloads, and they're just going to fade away really quick. And then you have the evergreen that over time they keep growing.
Right. So like for me, when I think of what's really working right now in the App Store for evergreen, it's camera apps.
That's right.
That one just, you know, we're always going to be taking photos and sharing experiences of our life. And these iPhones have been such a great way of doing that even faster. So I'm looking at the camera category a lot. Another really interesting thing that's come out with the iPhone 5S is the M7 chip, which is a chip that kind of works like a Fitbit, where it tracks every single movement of the user, even when the phone is in sleep and even when you're not in an app.
Ah,
so,
interesting.
Yeah, I think it's a Fitbit killer, but no one's really talking about it. I've seen a couple articles on it. So I'm trying to find new places where evergreens are going to exist. So those
like
are the
niche.
Yeah, exactly. So those are the 2 I'm looking at.
Oh, okay. Have you been looking at some you know, some scanning code, source code that's available for those camera apps?
Yeah, a little bit. The one that I go to all the time is Blue Cloud Solutions, and with Carter's blog and website. He's really kind of the pioneer of selling licensed code. He's very interactive with his community. So
yeah, he's amazing.
He's a trailblazer, man. He's done some cool stuff and taking. You know, Chad Moretta kind of started the game as far as having people who don't know how to code develop apps. Mm-hmm. And then Carter has really taken it to the next level with Reskin.
That's right. He pushed it. That's right.
Yeah, it's really cool stuff what he's doing there. So I'll check out his website all the time and see what he's got. He actually just came out with one this morning. I feel like he launches on Saturday mornings. It seems to be a hot day for him. And but as far as the camera apps go, I haven't found one. I have an idea for one that I've been mulling over for a few months, and I'm going to actually put in an Odesk job posting out for a programmer because I need a programmer long term. I actually fired my first programmer because he scammed me. But
what happened?
So what happened was, without getting too technical, he did all the improvements on. So I bought let me start over here. I bought the code from Carter, the scratch off code. Okay. And this was not the greatest code on his store, but I had some great ideas to improve it. So I hired a guy on Odesk, and he did everything I asked. From the beginning, he kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And usually, if anyone ever rubs you the wrong way at first, just walk
away. Yeah, red flag, right?
Yeah, but I was a newbie. What did I know? So I just went with it. And he did all the work, and it worked great until you would keep playing the game. And what he failed to do was deallocate the memory, which means as the views change, you have to dump the memory. Otherwise, your phone will get cluttered up with all the views.
Yeah, and then it would crash at some point.
And then it crashed. And what I noticed, I compared the code. I'm like, why is this crashing? And not knowing too much about memory allocation, I compared the code, and he commented out all of the deallocation code and even put his name next to it in the comments. And I'm like, what an idiot. So I fired him on the spot. I fixed his problem, and the code worked great. So I didn't.
Good job.
Yeah, I didn't get totally screwed, but
I see. But I mean,
he was trying to get more money out of me to fix it.
You know? I see what you mean. But at least you got lucky enough that you went in. You know, like you got you really went into it and looked for what was going on, because not everyone would do that.
So, yeah, and I got to stress that again. You know, the average person who's going into this who doesn't want to learn how to code, and that's fine. You can still be successful without learning the code. It would cost more money to figure that out. So this is just my competitive advantage that I have being technical. But let's say you're more of a marketing person. For me, I only have 11,000 downloads right now. So my weakness right now is marketing, because I've been putting so much time into developing apps. So you could essentially, if you're the opposite of me, you could have one decent app out there that costs more money. But if you did a better job of marketing it. So anyway, I just don't want to turn people off thinking you need to like dig in the code like this. But these are serious risks that you have to consider when dealing with overseas talent. So, but yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for this great answers, you know, like you're really helping us here, and lots of people I'm sure are going to thank you. If we want to get in touch with you, how can we do that?
Sure. So my website is, I have Team Glasshouse, and I'm a little ashamed of my website right now, but it's actually in development right now, so it will be getting better. Okay. So it's teamglasshouse.com. And also, if you want to find me on Facebook, which I'm very active in the developer community there, I think it's facebook.com/Tyler L. Kessler, KESSLER. And feel free to hit me up there. But I with social networking, I'm working on building a platform for my another thing I didn't talk about was my analytics. I have all my analytics from all my ad networks going into this system I built. And once I get this system up, I'm actually going to sell it to other appreneurs. Okay. And at that point, I'll have more of a social presence. But right now, I'm kind of under the radar. And that's where I kind of want to be right now. But anyone listening, please hit me up. And I would love to just talk about apps. That's what I love to do right now. So,
well, definitely, I would want you to be on the show again to explain us what your analytics platform does and how we are going to benefit from it.
Cool.
All right. Well, thanks for everything, Tyler. And we keep in touch, okay?
All right. Thank you, Johan.
Thanks for listening to the Mobile App Flipping Podcast. If you find this podcast interesting, please subscribe on iTunes and leave us a review. And sharing is caring, so spread the word. You can also follow me on Twitter at Johan305. That's YOHANN305. Also, come to appfresh.us. Appfresh.us. You'll find all the episodes, the show notes, and resources to make you more productive. See you at the next episode.
Tyler has made a website called appreview.me. It's a fast and fun way to share app reviews with other app developers. You give a review, you receive karma, then you receive reviews back. It's that easy. You can add your entire app portfolio and receive as many reviews as you put into. Go check it out, appreview.me.